Hello and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are on to season 3 of The Crown, and we're going to be doing things a little bit differently.
That's right. We thought we'd change it up for the next couple seasons.
Because to be honest, it's going to be a bit of a drag to get through these seasons. I'm just saying. I'm going to be completely candid. I don't really like these seasons of The Crown all that much. There are a couple shining moments and great performances. To be clear, they're very great performances, but it's just a lot, and it kind of loses its luster a bit. And so we want to get through it as quickly as possible and switch to something that we are going to enjoy a little bit more.
Well, right, and I think this is more for us. It's not necessarily for watchers or listeners. Honestly, I do think The Crown is a really interesting show, and I'm glad that we're doing it. But there's just a lot to it, and we want to cover a lot of ground with The Crown. We also want to do Downton Abbey. We want to do Game of Thrones. Bridgerton's going to be coming back soon.
I'm so excited.
We are totally doing Bridgerton, by the way. Whenever it happens, we're just going to
drop everything and just do it.
Stop the press. It's Bridgerton. We got a lot of those kinds of things going on. So we need to make sure that we are able to do everything for our listeners and, you know, get the content out. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of do 2 episodes at a time. Mm-hmm. So two episodes of the show to 1 podcast episode.
Just to get through it, because we don't want to be like, we don't want this to be the only thing coming out in the next 3 months, because it's going to take us a while given our launching the episode schedule stuff, because we only do 2 per week. And so we want to get as much out as possible so that we can move on. And we hope that you're okay with that. And if you aren't, sorry, you're still going to get The Crown episodes that you want or don't want, regardless of how you feel. This is how it's going to be. And if you don't want The Crown episodes, you can skip this and we'll be doing something sooner.
Right.
Everybody wins. Especially because we've been kind of drained.
Right. Now, if we get through this, combining 2 episodes into 1 thing and it seems kind of awkward, we may end up just doing 2 shorter episodes separately, but I'd like to try to do it this way. So this is an experiment and we hope that you enjoy it. And if you have feedback, you let us know.
All right. So we're going to be covering season 3, episode 1, Olding, and season 3, episode 2, Margaretology in this episode. And also, what are you drinking?
I am just having coffee.
I'm just having sweet tea. So
yeah, that's not as exciting as I hoped it would be. But today was kind of not a day for me to be experimenting. So I'm having coffee and then I'm going to have water and we will go from there. So you're having sweet tea?
Yes, I am. I got it with my lunch and now I'm having it.
Perfect. So we are going to start with Olding, but we do have the usual caveats. There may be cursing. I can see myself cursing.
I can see myself cursing too.
Yeah. We will also be probably having spoilers for other episodes of The Crown and other seasons of The Crown. And
probably, especially with this first part, because we should probably, before we get into this first episode, we should probably talk about the different cast to get that over with, because we've been waiting so long to talk about.
Right. Well, I mean, we talk about the different casts, but there are different things that I noted as the episodes progressed about differences that I saw and my thoughts about them. So it may come crop up later, but yes. So the change in cast, we have a completely different Elizabeth, which is Olivia Colman in seasons 3 and 4.
Philip. Helena Bonham Carter is Margaret, and the only other name I know is Joshua Connor, who plays Charles eventually in this season.
Right. So we do have, it's basically a completely different cast, with the exception of Winston Churchill is still John Lithgow. Mm-hmm. And we have new people all the way around. We have Michael Gregson from Downton Abbey fame.
The best part is that he plays Martin,
which is your favorite Downton Abbey.
It's a reverse Downton Abbey. It's the other way around now, because Edith had Michael Gregson first and then went to Birdie, but now it's the other way around. It's Birdie and then it's Michael Gregson. It's really funny to me.
It is really crazy. Funny.
I forgot that.
The reverse Edith maneuver.
Yeah, no, I completely forgot about that. So when I saw him, I was just like, he better be Martin. That would be so perfect.
And he was.
It was so good.
Okay. So yeah, so the new cast, and like I said, I think we're going to comment as we go along about the performances, but yeah. Notably, they look very different. And I think that the visual is very different. So, and it actually starts with that, right?
Well, I'd also like to mention that Tommy Lassell's, that actor, stays the same in the flashbacks. So I do appreciate that. He's great. Keep him.
He is great. So, he's great. You know, all you have to do is put a little gray hair on him. He's awesome.
No, yeah. And especially if it's a flashback, it's just like you're dyeing his hair anyway or using a wig. So there you go. Anyway, so we start out with Elizabeth approving the new stamp with her profile compared to the old one. That was Claire Foy.
Right. Now, of course, one of the biggest differences that you note when you're looking physically at Olivia Colman versus Claire Foy is Olivia Colman's much taller.
Yes.
She has brown eyes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think to look at the eyes.
Right. Facially, she is very, very different from Claire Foy. And the brown eye thing is also true of Helena Bonham Carter as Margaret. So
it is
kind of
foreign contacts, but okay.
But they didn't. So, you know, those are notable and obvious things. But Olivia Colman being so much taller as an actress, they kind of adjusted. That's what I think how Tobias Menzies, you know, kind of works with this. But you can tell that they changed all the staff to be a little taller so that she still is supposed to be looking short, but she doesn't because she's much taller. They also dress her very differently, and it's very sad. Like this first episode is all like very muted beige.
Well, I'd like to point out, I just looked it up. Claire Foy is 5'4" and Olivia Colman's 5'7". So it's not too huge. It's our height.
It's difference. Noticeable. Right.
It's noticeable, but it's not like she's like 7 feet tall.
Right. But I think their build is very different too.
Oh, their build Olivia is absolutely Colman. Different.
Right. And you know, I don't want to like get into any of that. And some of it's an age thing. Claire Foy is a younger actress. And you know, there's also an element here of being known. So Olivia Colman obviously is a known quantity. She's been on a lot of shows. Claire Foy was less of a known quantity before The Crown. And so I think the surprise of her being so good in that role, it's like hers and she owns it.
Yeah.
Whereas Olivia Colman brings Olivia Colman to it. And so she has a very distinct acting style.
I also think that the writing is kind of, we'll get to
it. Not as good, but yes.
Oh no, it's so different. All right. Anyway, basically, I almost said Olivia Colman. Elizabeth has to come to terms with the aging. She's kind of like indifferent to it. Well, she says she's indifferent to it. She's just like, well, we just carry on, whatever.
Right, but that's what she says at the end. But the way they introduce it is like, oh, you know, we're comparing the younger to the more experienced or mature queen. She's like that? Oh, that. I mean, she interrupts, and there's a lot of interrupting which you would never have seen in the previous seasons. There's a lot of that very sharp jumping in. She's a lot more chatty too, and she gives these little speeches, and she says age is rarely kind, nothing we can do about it, but get on with it. And so she has a lot more to say, which I find interesting.
You act like Claire Foy never had like tons of speeches.
She had speeches, but they always came across as
emotionally charged.
Emotionally charged, but not emotional. Whereas Olivia Colman, I think, comes across as very emotional. Like she comes across as sharper, more clipped.
I think we have a different definition of emotional then.
Okay. You know, emotionally charged to me is that it's under the surface. I think Olivia Colman, it's right there. You can see it.
Well, I meant by emotionally charged, it's like sparked by like overwhelming emotion.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Anyway, moving on. Then the next note I have is Philip has a footman turn the volume up on the TV because royals can't technology.
Right.
I have a lot of notes, like just pointing those things out. And I have a counter that I will bring up maybe this episode. If it starts this episode, it might start next episode. But I do have a counter for this season.
For the TV thing? Yeah.
No, that's not the counter I have. It's different. And I will bring it up when it comes up.
Okay. So they're having
breakfast. I'm tempted. I am tempted.
And Olivia Colman, and I wasn't sure if he was having the TV turned up because she's very loud. It's like she's banging the silverware around and banging things around and opening letters. And you know, I don't know if it's to show that she's busy or preoccupied or upset or bothered. I really was unclear on that, but she's very loud with the breakfast. And so Philip, you know, has it turned up. And there is what is going to be the new prime minister, which is Mr. Wilson, is on the TV.
I thought I recognized the actor. I looked it up, did not.
Like, yeah, I guess he looks familiar, but I don't know why.
He does. I think he just kind of looks, I don't know what he looks like. He just looks familiar. And I was just like, maybe not, I guess.
Right. So Philip is watching Wilson on TV and he talks about, oh, you know, we're going to have these anarchists, you know that there was a rumor he was a KGB spy.
He heard of that from the lunch club.
And Elizabeth just kind of like rolls her eyes, you know, whatever.
I kind of like that. Honestly, it's just like, oh, the lunch club. Ugh, remember that?
Yeah, but Philip says that the code name for this KGB spy was Olding, which of course is the name of the episode. Oh,
I thought, okay, I didn't hear that. And so my God, sorry. The people above me are so loud.
I can't hear them, that's okay.
Good, they're very loud. And also people just are deciding to stomp by my door, so ignore that as well. So basically.
KGB, they're coming.
They're gonna knock down my door. I was actually thinking the Spanish Inquisition, but it's fine.
Nobody expects it.
I didn't hear the Olding thing. So there's a moment later on in my notes where I was just like, this would have been a better episode title. I still kind of stand by that, but I'll get to it when I get to it. Then we go over to Kensington Palace and Tony won't be coming to lunch with Margaret because he sucks.
And he's still kind of a dickhead. Margaret is, you know, doing Margaret things and she's like hysterical because he's not coming to lunch or whatever.
She wakes up late and then the maid comes in and she's just like, oh, you're new. And then she's like, yeah, the last maid left because of nervous exhaustion. And then Margaret's upset that he won't be at lunch and he's not answering the door because he is gone. He's going to be taking pictures of the election. So that's his excuse anyway.
She is still like, you know, high tests, upset about it, whatever. They cut to the palace and there is an art guy. And I never call him anything but art guy in this, even though he's
insane in my notes, but apparently his name is Sir Anthony.
Right. Okay. It starts with a B, Botham or something like that. Anyway. Art guy is talking to Elizabeth and Philip about art that they have donated for a gallery presentation that is portraiture.
And Elizabeth will give a speech there.
Right. But Philip is kind of taunting him. He's like,
oh, I have the lines written down.
Okay.
Because at one point he's just like, oh yeah, we don't know that much about fine art or whatever, and Philip's like, we're country people, really savages. And I'm like, art guy goes, I wouldn't say that. And he's like, I just did say that, are you disagreeing with me? And he's like, oh, I've always said the queen mother and queen have a good eye. And then he's like, what, between them? And then Elizabeth's like, one each.
Right. I mean, she's joking about it.
She's a little bit jokey in this scene, but not anywhere else, which is kind of sad.
Right. But at a couple of points, and I think this is part of, you know, the acting things I noticed with Olivia Colman. She is her face moves a lot. And that's not a bad acting thing, but coming from Claire Foy, where it's very, her face is very controlled. Mm-hmm. It's a huge change. You know, she does have like big smiles. Olivia Colman does. Yeah. It's like,
she seems like a genuinely happy person. And so when I say she's jokey in the scene, it generally comes across as like, she's really happy. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. We don't see it ever again. So.
Right. And I think that as an actress, it's a struggle for her to, you know, keep some of those things under wraps a little bit, or closer to the chest. And I think that that's, because she has very large eyes and her eyes move a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in her acting style that, while I love it in other contexts, coming from Claire Foy, it's like, oh, it's just very, very different.
It's different, yeah. But also, yeah, another part of the scene is when Philip's about to leave, he tells the art guy, eyes left, and the art guy turns around and he gives Elizabeth a kiss, and it's really cute. It's right, really reminiscent of the pilot, like, don't look, and then it's just,
it's well, look out, yeah. So he leaves, and Elizabeth then talks to the art guy about, oh, how, you know, I'm so grateful that you're willing to tutor me on these things, because if I have to give a speech, I need, you know, a little of a, you know, an update on what we're talking about here. So she chats to him. She mentions to the art guy about this Wilson rumor, mm-hmm. and the art guy feeds the rumor.
Yeah,
he's like, oh yeah, you know, that I wouldn't discount that. That's certainly a possibility.
I think it's interesting because I kind of like her tactic of like seeing how it like plays out with other people and just being like, okay, well, what do you know? It's just, yeah, it's an interesting tactic.
Right. So she had gotten a letter saying that Winston had another stroke, and she shows up at his house. And it's just odd to me procedurally how this works. Like, you know, she walks in and the footman's just like, it's the queen, you know, kind of like it's an everyday thing. You know, it's very casual. And she has this chat with Winston. And again, you know, it's such a change in demeanor and change in writing for Elizabeth. You know, she waxes.
His poetic. The queen. It's the way that made me so giggly. This is really funny.
But it is. It's kind of like the queen. It's like the queen, whatever.
Like you've never seen, like you see the queen every day. Anyway.
Right. So Winston talks about Wilson, and he also talks about his suspicion that Wilson had been a KGB well, spy.
Because Wilson was asking Winston to go to Russia.
Yes.
To go behind the Iron Curtain. And
right. And Wilson is very much a socialist. And yes. I think that is, of course, is very different from the governments that we've seen so far for England or for the UK. And so Winston, you know, doesn't like that. The Queen expresses to him, oh, you know, it's going to be weird to have somebody. It's going to be strange to have a PM I might not be able to trust. But then she goes
I say Elizabeth fawns over Winston, and in parentheses, kind of glorifying him more than they did before.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, girl, do you not remember all the shit that this guy put you through? Like, there were a couple moments here and there where you could not trust him. Like,
right, and that was,
he wasn't telling you the full truth about his health, and you weren't being like involved in certain decisions. Like, are you misremembering? Like, okay, compare this to the speech at his retirement. It's completely different tones. Like, yes, she was very complimentary in the speech from before, but it was also a bit more of a well-rounded thing of like him as a man and not just as the prime minister. But now it's just like, you were like the my like compass in the storm. You were like
the roof over my head,
and I'm like, this is bullshit. Excuse me. No, he's not.
Yeah, and it's so flowery, and the way she delivers the lines is a bit effusive to me.
Well, so how would you deliver those lines? Like, I mean, you're given that kind of writing, you have to deliver it in a particular way that makes sense.
Right, but you don't have to, it comes across as gushy and you know, very like fangirl. Whereas
if you did it on the other way, it would sound sarcastic. So, yeah, I mean,
You were, I mean, I can see a Claire Foy being like, oh, you were my rock in the storm. You were the roof over my head. I don't know how I could have done this without you. You know, very controlled.
No, but that still is a little bit like, regardless, given the writing, I can see why she went the route she went.
I can but, too, but yeah. I don't like it.
And the so, writing like, itself doesn't make much sense for the character in general. So I can't necessarily blame her.
We are barely into this episode and we're already like, oh.
No, it gets worse. Yes, then Winston falls asleep in the middle, and in parentheses, I put relatable.
Yes, totally. Totally. And so
we go back to Kensington. Oh, this is the part that I have a hot take. Tony comes home late and hears Margaret giving a party and watches through a weird peephole.
Yeah.
It's like a girl's locker room peephole thing. It's so weird. And right, it's just a spy on his wife giving a party.
Right. He's upset that she's having this party. He doesn't want to be part of the party. But he's still, and you know, when he comes in, he's still got his mirror with the signatures on it. And he's still like Mr. Special, but he had been taking pictures out in the field of Wilson and his supporters. And that's when he goes to develop. And again, and he hears as he's developing this that Wilson has won the election, but he's very upset. Like, you know, Margaret's like singing. And
okay, this is
we gotta talk about Helena Bonham Carter singing. So,
yeah, this is my hot take. I don't think Helena Bonham Carter has that great of a voice.
She does.
I think she
would agree with that, honestly.
It's fine given the context that she's drunk and it doesn't really matter, but them like all fawning over her and being like, sing another one. And it's just like, no, don't. And but I wrote down, I don't think Helena Bonham Carter has a great voice, and they have her sing a lot in this show. And that is my counter. The number of times they have Helena Bonham Carter sings, it may surprise you. It's a lot.
It is a lot. And it's interesting because she's been in musicals, clearly. She's
not in a great capacity, though. I don't think Sweeney Todd was a glowing like review of her singing.
Right. So she was in Sweeney Todd, which is almost like a spoken word almost.
It's not supposed to be, though.
Right. Fine. But then you've also got, she was Madame Thénardier in Les Mis, in the movie.
That's more like just be a comedic actress.
Again. Right.
Sacha Baron Cohen as the other one. I mean, like, it's
right.
Not,
and
like,
neither
it's
of them
fine.
Is a great singer. And so, and I think she's been in some other things too. But I don't think she's a great singer.
But the amount of times they have her sing in the show makes it seem like they think she's a great singer, and it was in her contract to sing this much. Like, I'm just like, I won't sign on to the crown unless I sing every episode.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they had Vanessa Kirby playing the piano and whatever previously.
Well, they had that, like, once.
And singing. But right, they only had it once.
Father, and they weren't supposed to be great. And she actually did a better job than Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes. That is the point I was getting to, which is Vanessa Kirby has a better voice. I suspect that Princess Margaret was known to burst into song for no good reason.
It's part of the contract. Anyway, moving on. But yes. Yeah, this is a Margaret singing counter number one. Yeah. And I also said she plays drunk well, and they don't show too much more at this point other than she's drunk.
She's
hungover. Right. At least with Vanessa Kirby, she was sometimes sober.
Yeah, yes. And that is an interesting thing.
But I guess
too.
That is stage in her life, it's like more stressful, all that stuff, blah. But also, right, again, with smoking in the dark room, it really bugs me that he keeps smoking in his dark room.
Yeah, there's a lot of really stupid use of alcohol and smoking and stuff, and that's going to come up for me again too. So we cut to Elizabeth. She is wearing a really ugly peach dress. And I think that's another thing too, like the costumes in the previous seasons for them were so much, even the day-to-day wear was nicer to me.
Well, I think they also have to match it to fit a different body type. So
yes,
it's not going to look the same as it did on Claire Foy.
No, but it's like, it's sad. Mr. Wilson is being instructed on the protocol on how to meet the Queen.
You don't see any of the other prime ministers get this treatment. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess not in the show, no.
So he's an outsider.
Well, I mean, Winston Churchill clearly knew what the protocol is. He probably knew it better than anybody else.
Well, he's been he was in the position for 700 billion years.
So yeah, exactly. So he didn't have to be told. So Elizabeth talks to him, and Wilson's very kind of snappish with her.
He basically insults her for liking the people she likes.
Yeah.
The people she grew up with. It's not any, like, she cannot like certain people in her role or whatever, but it's not like she's going to hate everybody that she's known her entire life.
Right.
Like, it's just bizarre. Right. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, the way he talks about it is like, well, I bet you liked him because he's like your people. He even knows horses and stuff, you know, like this is such a major negative. So, okay.
You horses. You horse girl, I hate you.
It's just it's like you people have horses, you know, whatever. And then later on, Elizabeth, and this is another huge change to me. They're at dinner. She is at a dinner with birthday
party. Before that, I do want to mention they talk about devaluing the pound because the economy's just in the shit.
Gone to hell.
But they won't. He doesn't want to do that because England's the best. And
well, also because his party has done that before, and that was very the reaction
was not good. But also, they briefly talk about like seeing her face on the money. I'm sorry, but the people above me are like the cast of Stomp right now. I hate this so much.
She
also asks about the sudden death of his predecessor. I believe it was in their party or something like
that. Yes.
And so it was the person who was going to be what? I was trying to explain it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
From what I understand, the person who was going to get the nomination from their party was this random, I don't know his name, but he supposedly had been poisoned by an assassin from the Russian government or something like that, like KGB.
Right. And right. So, Philip had talked about that earlier.
And she does ask him about that. And it's just like, it was so sudden. He's like, uh-huh. And it's just like, and surprising. And then he's like, uh-huh. And it's just like, what is he supposed to say to that? Oh yeah, I'm a spy. I killed him. It's like, no, he's not going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of bizarre, but, and again, you know, she's floating these conspiracy theories, and he must be sitting there thinking she believes I'm this person, right?
Well, he's almost definitely heard the rumors about him, but like it's not like he's going to like even entertain them because that would be an admission in its own right. So it's stupid.
It's weird.
Yeah, she basically says he was unremarkable. She kind of pulls a Jackie Kennedy.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding? Have you not learned? Did you not watch the last season and how that affected you?
Well, and every time we've seen her at dinner up until this point, she's very, again, reserved, controlled. She's not gossiping. She's not doing any of those things. But at this party, and it is like, I guess, a family birthday party, like Henry somebody or other is his birthday. Yeah, so some unremarkable somebody. again, unremarkable. Who is a family member. Is at a birthday dinner for that person, but it's at the palace. And she's like, oh, he's so unremarkable and he's not interesting. And everybody else had some presents and he really doesn't. And
it's like, that's the perfect trait for a spy.
scandal. And you see her. And this is another thing that I find in Olivia Colman's performance, like her eyes will get big. You know? And because they are large to begin with, it's very noticeable. Like,
I don't think
therefore, you didn't notice, you didn't. You could see her registering it with like something very small, like, you know, there wasn't this huge thing.
See, it's funny because you're focusing on the eyes. I'm focusing on the mouth and it's a different story. But anyway, then
I hope you notice the giant smiles of Olivia Colman because those are.
Yeah. But yep.
Very, very different.
I'm sure she's a great person. I think she seems like a really cool person. And
she's a great actress. Yes, she is.
It's
not in this role.
But again, I don't think it's all her fault. So
no, not all her fault.
Anyway, no. Then Margaret is talking to the Queen Mother about how she thinks Tony hates her, and it's probably true. And then,
and then the Queen Mother actress is like practically asleep half the time. It's just kind of bizarre.
Again, that comes in later.
Yes, it does.
But and then Margaret, basically the Queen Mother is like, "Oh well, your trip to America soon is a great bonding opportunity," and it's like, "Yeah, if you don't kill each other." then Tony shows up late to the birthday party. Elizabeth gets a call.
He sits on the floor
and not next to his wife because he sees her every day. Why would I want to be near my wife? I only got married to her, and. I fucking hate him. And then Elizabeth gets a call that Winston has died. In the like, they sing happy birthday, and then she like hangs up the phone. They light all the candles, or the candles are lit and ready to go. And then she's just like, "Winston's dead." I had to burst out laughing because of how abrupt it was.
This again, it's going to come up like as the season progresses too. It's like they juxtapose these things. Some of them are so ham-handed. It's like, really? So this is what they start. Then they start this whole series of some guy turns it up and see it.
And this is intercut. Go ahead.
Right. Intercut is this guy shows up at the CIA and he knows about he shows up at the CIA. Oh, he gives information that and CIA calls MI5 and says, "Hey, we got this guy who says he knows there's a KGB spy who's very high up in the British government. I know you're going to want to debrief him. We're going to fly him to London and you can debrief him." And they do that. But it's intercut. And it's like, again, do we need to see all of this? Like him showing up. They turn on a tape recorder. I mean, it's like, but not anything that's said.
Well, I noticed that there's a lot of montages in these seasons, and it only gets worse.
Right, because the it writing only gets sucks, more right?
montage-y.
Yeah, because the writing is just not as strong. I mean, there are parts where the writing is strong, and where it's good, it's very good. But where it's not, it's like, oh my god.
I also think it's weird because I didn't have too much of an issue with the montages in the last season, and I think I know why. I think I know because whenever something was being intercut with another thing in a montage-y kind of thing, it was supposed to be either a juxtaposition or something related to that thing. Yes. I'm trying to think of an example, but I can't. But having Winston's funeral and then a person like KGB, a former KGB person, like talking about something, it has nothing to do with each other. Like if it was any other situation that was being intercut with it, it probably would have been fine. Or if it was his own scene, that would have been fine. But I don't understand why it had to be like that.
Yeah, anyway. I don't either.
Then Michael's informed about it, and the MI5 director goes to Elizabeth. The spy isn't Wilson, and the guy wasn't his predecessor wasn't poisoned, but died of lupus. I don't know how did that get confused?
Yeah, I don't
Elizabeth know about that. Like, that's weird. Anyway, yeah,
it's kind of bizarre.
The spy is the art guy. His name is Sir Anthony Blunt.
Blunt. It started with a B and ended with a T. I'm good. There was an N in there. Sure.
I just wrote, guy finishes his presentation on truth.
Right. This is like the ham-handed bullshit.
It's a better montage than the other one, but again, it's a montage.
Right. And the speech that he is giving, it is about deception and all of this stuff. So he is doing a slideshow presentation on a painting that has, you know, truth versus deceit. And he talks about, oh, and you can see in this picture that deceit has two faces. And at the same time, the way the slideshow is set, his own face is like half lit and half in shadow. And it's like, the picture of deceit is half in light and the other half is a monster in shadow. And it's like,
No, I get it. It is heavy-handed. However, it's a better montage than the last one because at least it makes sense. And at least it's showing and telling. But I would say it's showing, not telling, but I can't. But
it's simultaneously doing both.
Whatever. But he's like, I'm reminded of the Merchant of Venice. Truth will out. And I'm just like, great.
Yeah, I mean, again, awesome.
as the MI5 people are coming in, it's like, truth will out. And it's like, yeah, it will.
Yeah, anyway, it will. Then, and murder can't be hidden and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. So
They talk about covering it up, but Elizabeth still has to give, they're going to be covering up the whole thing because they'd be embarrassed. Because it's awkward.
I really hate this, but we're going to talk about that.
So, so do Elizabeth and Philip, because Elizabeth
Philip says the guy should be shot.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't know. But you could still get information from him. But I think that I thought too much about that. But Elizabeth still has to give the speech, like a glowing review of him putting together this gallery. She still has to give that speech at the gallery, and Philip isn't happy about it either. So she gives the speech with a bit of passive aggression about secrets and two different people. And they mentioned the word pentimento. And I was like, that's a better episode title. Because nobody knows what it really means. And then he like corrects her about it being like two-faced within art, not necessarily within like literature or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, again, better. That's right. A better episode title than Olding.
Well, but the reason they do Olding is because they've changed changed actresses. And supposedly that's the KGB name for this guy. But the guy, the art guy, it's not just that they cover it up. It is also that he is given immunity and he's allowed to continue in his job with no repercussions whatsoever.
He lives in the palace.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It is very weird because, you know, like how do you actually control this guy? I mean, it's bizarre, but their rationale for it is, oh, well, we're on the ropes with the U.S. They don't trust our security and we've got to, you know, get along with the U.S. because we need more stuff from them. And our economy is in.
That comes in the next episode.
It does. Anyway. So, but he gives after the presentation, after the speech, Philip wants to talk to the art guy.
Before that, Elizabeth apologizes to the prime minister about misjudging him. And he mentions he trusts numbers because they're honest. And I'm like, great. And then
does have these giant smiles while she's talking to him. Well, I hope you don't mind. And it's just very,
severe, but I mean,
it is.
You need to go back and look. Mouth. I'm sorry. That's just
But you don't ever see the actual queen do that either. And I think that's part of
her fault. I don't think it's her fault. I like Olivia Colman. She's fine. I just think that the writing and the directing might've been part of it as well. Because if that was a big problem for the director, he would have told her. So.
Right. So, Philip wants to talk to the art guy, Blunt, and he's like, you should do the right thing and just slither away and leave us all alone. And the art guy starts to threaten him with the pictures from the Profumo scandal that we heard about.
Which was apparently nothing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And Philip also says it was nothing.
Right, but he's the guy, this art guy, is the one who went and found all of these supposed, you know, drawings or what paintings or whatever that Profumo had done of him. And he's like, well, you know, I'm okay with that, but you need to be careful because, you know, it could come out the wrong way or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, Philip tells the truth about the scandal that it was made from photos, which is true, apparently. Mm-hmm. Then art guy threatens to let the art out and then it ends.
So, right. And there's the end of the episode, they mentioned that he was allowed to live at the palace until 1972 when he died, I guess. And then
got shot.
It would be nice. No, he died and then the queen never spoke of him ever again. So
okay. I wish
he was given immunity, and I'm sure that's documented that he's given
immunity. I'm sure.
Which again, I would never do, but the queen gets to do that. So, you know, whatever.
Best part
is Philip wanting the guy shot. That is my best part. What is your best part?
I literally wrote down, it looks good. I like Tobias Menzies and the costumes, question mark. Like, I liked the party outfit they had for the queen. I liked the teal, like the aqua colored thing. It's fine. Worst part.
Oh, my worst part was covering up for the spy. I think that is reprehensible that the government and the queen covered up for this guy who was spying for the KGB. And they did it for reasons that I think are absurd. So this whole, like, we're going to cover it up because we need to stay in the good graces of the Americans, and they doubt our ability to find spies, which they have good reason.
You just found a spy.
Right, so you should tell them.
Congratulations.
But no, we're going to cover it up. We're going to hide it. And the queen goes along with it because she's the person who has the authority to give immunity. And so she goes along with it, and maybe part of her mental calculation was Philip. I don't know. They make it look like that. I don't like the cover. It bothers me.
Anyway,
what was your worst part?
Tony, always. the prime minister being sketchy for whatever reason, and kind of being rude, and then the art guy scandal and them covering it up. So yeah. What's your overall grade?
B minus.
I also gave it a B minus. It was originally a B. It is a B minus.
It's a B minus. It's not a good episode. It's not.
It's not the worst.
No, it's not. It's not. But we have another episode to talk about. I don't know about you, but when it rolled into this next episode. Oh, did you still want to talk about that one?
No, I was just going to introduce it.
Oh, right. The next episode is what?
Season 3, episode 2, Margaretology.
And it rolled into that. I was like, oh, fuck, Margaret episode. I can't watch this right now.
Everyone's favorite episodes. The Margaret episodes. Only second, like, the only thing that's second to that are Philip episodes. Because they have the big six. So it's like...
Well, but I like the people they've had play Philip a lot better than I've liked. Well, I mean, that's not fair either. I like both
of the actresses they have. I just hate the Margaret episode.
Yeah. I think what we hate is the characterization of Margaret as being self-destructive, and she apparently was. So I don't think we can change.
Well, in this episode, she's a whiny bitch. So anyway,
who's also self-destructive. So Margaretology. And I'm drinking with water now, in case anyone cares.
Whatever. It starts with a 1943 flashback to Tommy Lassels, our fave, telling young Elizabeth, who looks slightly older now, which is kind of funny, telling Elizabeth her duties as the heir while Margaret plays in the hall. Margaret says that she would love every minute of being queen, and she wants Elizabeth to tell them to let Margaret do it. Like, that's how that works.
It would be best for both of us, because I'd rather, and Elizabeth's like, well, I'd rather have that too. And she's like, you need to tell them, and then we'll just fix everything, and I'll be queen, and I'll tell people what to do. And she has like the mentality of, and I guess she's supposed to be 10, and I can see a 10-year-old kind of thinking that this is what it's like to be queen. But yeah, they then cut to modern Margaret getting ready to go on a plane for her U.S. tour. Elizabeth
with Tony.
She's seeing them off, and she asks where they're going. And she thought they were starting in New York, and like, no, we're going to go to San Francisco and then L.A. And then we're going to go and hang out with friends in Arizona. And then we're going to go to New York for Tony's book, and then we'll be home. And
yeah, she wants them to be good to one another, both of them. And then also, and then they are flying quote unquote commercially, which basically just means they have a first class cabin to themselves. So
yeah,
not really commercial now, is it?
No, not like the rest of us commercial. No.
Yeah. And Tony basically, like, they get on the plane, and Tony's like, says that Margaret is a born number one with the curse of being born number two. Which, whatever. At least he's being supportive.
Right, but he also says Elizabeth means well. And and Margaret's like, well, everything is very complicated between me and my sister and blah, blah, blah. And she is a whiny bitch. She's a whiner. But she's also very, very full of herself. Yeah,
it gets so much worse.
It does. Yeah. So then we see the UK ambassador going to the White House. And he mentions that the UK is having financial problems, major ones, and they need a giant loan. And LBJ, he's told that LBJ does not want JFK mentioned at all, ever, for any reason. I'm sorry, do you need for me to say
no, that? I'm just, I hate it. We'll get there. But LBJ's portrayal is just so insulting to the American people. I'm not saying LBJ was that great. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a lot of Americans are so dumb.
He's a Texan, and Texans are, you know, whatever. Very low common denominator. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
The way they frame him is in the most harsh light they can possibly give, because they're being mean. They're not giving us $1 billion worth of a loan to get us out of our economic problems, like we have that money in the middle of the Vietnam War. Like, I mean, it's not first of all feasible, second of all, it makes no god, well, again, we have context for it because we're Americans and we know what was going on, and they right. do too. I don't know what they're thinking,
right? But he's also upset because the Prime Minister Wilson has not supported the war in Vietnam.
Well, that's probably that's a good call, to be fair.
In retrospect, sure.
Well, we probably shouldn't have been doing that in the first place, but that's neither here nor there.
Again, retrospect.
Moving on.
but this is what they have. LBJ's pissed, and he's talking to his advisor. He's like, "You can't screw a man in the ass and expect him to send you flowers afterwards." It's like, They don't have much cursing in this show, and all of a sudden,
except in this episode,
right? But it's all because of their characterization of LBJ as this Texas cowboy kind of guy, right?
Us Americans are so dumb. Anyway, the Prime Minister goes to Elizabeth, and they need to make the Americans feel more special because they won't accept anything less. They want something more than what JFK got to make him feel adequate, because he was vice president, and because of an assassination, he became president.
Well, and also because I think there was this sense that JFK, that whole Camelot thing that was very true in the US, JFK was kind of idolized, and probably became more so after his assassination.
Well, yeah, I mean, he didn't have a lot of time to fuck up, so.
Right. And so he also, you know, had this kind of Northeastern Harvard-y background, which LBJ did not. And so LBJ is not happy about
feeling inadequate, like Margaret. Yes. Anyway.
Yes, that's what they have in common.
Anyway, Margaret's getting glowing reviews in newspapers. And I wrote down, Michael Gregson's here and he's Martin. How ironic. I almost said iconic, but at the same time, maybe it's also iconic. But the secretary suggests a state dinner, but they know that whatever they give Johnson will have to be better than JFK.
What? So you talk about Michael Gregson being Martin.
Yes.
When he's talking about Margaret, he talks about the Margaretologists, who are apparently her fans who are in the US, who are like, oh, they find her so amusing and charming. And he's speaking, and Elizabeth cuts him off. She's very brusque. She's like, well, fine. You know, I mean,
Elizabeth being jealous of Margaret. We love to see it. We didn't get enough of that in the last season. One before that.
I feel like, unlike when we talked, Elizabeth would always let people have their say and then say, yes, very well, you know, and move on. But she wouldn't interrupt them. And there's a lot of interrupting that goes on with Elizabeth. And I just don't like that change in the caricature of her.
That's the writing.
It is the writing. I think the writing is not as good.
And Tony is mad because Margaret ignored the signal and he wanted to leave the party. You always pay attention to the signal. I mean, come on. That's basic. What the heck? And she pokes Tony about being ignored by the press, and she gets annoyed about him complaining about being second fiddle. And I just wrote in parentheses, this is just dumb. And she's just like, don't talk to me about being second fiddle. You don't understand how it feels to be poor me, being second fiddle, be a princess and having all this fucking privilege. Oh my God, woe is me. I'm so second fiddle. Oh, I should be queen. I should have all the responsibilities.
But she also
just refuse to explore, especially in the storyline, because I'll get to it in a second, but Actually, no, I'll get to that at the end, because it is part of my worst parts. So go ahead.
Right. But so when she's talking, she's laughing at Tony. Like, she's making fun of him.
She's so drunk, by the way.
Right. She's super drunk. And this is one of the things I noticed in this season is a new, and it's both actresses, both Margaret and Elizabeth, suddenly have this pronunciation of the word appreciate.
Appreciate.
Yep. If you would do this, appreciate.
I noticed that, like, too, but I just.
Why is this happening all of a sudden in this?
Well, at least it's like, consistent. Oh,
that makes me a royal now because I say appreciate.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Then she promises. Margaret promises that when they get to New York, the spotlight will be on him and she will be supportive and that will make her very happy. And I'm like, okay, well, at least you're being healthy about that, as long as you mean it. And
for like 15 seconds. Yeah. So LBJ doesn't want to lose in Vietnam. We hear him telling his advisors that. Then he's offered a weekend shooting at Balmoral. And it's explained to him that this is very, very special. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Well, he's like, it's a long flight and then a long drive. And in parentheses, I was just like, us Americans are so dumb and lazy.
Well, and the weather's bad. And then there are all these rules about when you can shoot and when you can't shoot. And I'll get it wrong anyway. And then well, they'll make fun of me.
Really like posh people. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And then also like JFK and no one else has gotten like an invitation to Balmoral. That's like the best of the best. And even Elizabeth later on is just kind of like, oh, wow, we don't even get enough of those here. Like, we don't get to choose to get to do that here anyway. And then it's just, they just never sent a reply. And I'm just like, you at least should say no. Really? And then
they don't do anything.
Margaret and Tony, who are in Arizona for some time alone with some friends. And this is Helena Bonham Carter singing too.
Right. So she's singing in the car. And then they show up at this ranch and she's so exhausted and she's coughing and she just rushes inside and she can't be like bothered with people. And
also, I'd like to point out, this made me burst out laughing, but there's a random guy who greets them who has an eye patch for whatever reason. It's just really funny. I don't know why. Oh, okay. It tickled me. It was great.
It is kind of bizarre, but she's so exhausted.
I thought I was saying it wrong, but it wasn't.
Sorry, go ahead.
There are very few things that make me happy in this episode.
Okay. So there are just a couple of things. Like she has been doing Elizabeth's job, I guess, or doing all of these things, most of it partying, getting drunk, that would be considered, you know, I guess ambassadorial types of things for Elizabeth, or sort of for Elizabeth, but they aren't really, they're just more like parties that she wants to go to, for like a week. And she's so exhausted that she like takes to her bed. I mean, she can't do like the however many month long tour in Australia.
Yeah, no, it's a lot like that, but they don't think about adding that as a plot point of like, well, they like, obviously it happens, but they ignore the implications of this is what Elizabeth has to do. And so I don't understand why they didn't make that a plot point and have her be like, maybe the grass isn't greener on the other side or anything. Like, it makes no sense.
Like, yeah, it doesn't. It really does not.
Like, it's a perfect opportunity to have it. And they were right there and they made her sick. And so it was fine until they just didn't push it far enough. And then also, she's in bed sick and all that stuff, and she's just like, oh, you hate, she's talking to Tony and she's just like, you hated every minute of all this stuff. And he was like, yes, I did, but it served the purpose of making you look good. And at least he's being supportive. Yeah. I mean, that's a good sign. And then we go over to LBJ and he's going to the bathroom because us Americans are so crass and gross and stupid.
like
do it with this stupid like portrayal of us. I hate it. And then
it's vulgar.
They go to the bathroom and his man is following him in there and he's basically telling him about the consequences of not replying to Elizabeth. And his plan is to invite Margaret to the White House. so that it's like, well, they can come to us. And so we don't have to really do that much and it will make us look better. And then Elizabeth gets jealous of Margaret's success again. And she hears about the plan from LBJ. And she's like, you want Margaret to do it? She can't do anything right. She's
right. Well, and she's having this discussion. She's having this discussion with Wilson. And Wilson's like, yeah, they want her to come. And everybody, Wilson included, like, is like, yeah, Margaret's going to screw this up. But okay, well, they've asked for her. It's supposed to appease us. We really need the money. So we're going to agree to it.
Well, they want Margaret to sway the Americans subtly to the British cause of getting them a rescue package of, which they say 1,000 million, which is also just a billion.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. About, yeah, it is a billion. Oh my God. They were asking for that much. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Like, and also we were in the middle of a war. Like, are you kidding? Anyway, Elizabeth asks her to go to the White House, but the time conflicts with Tony's book launch, and Elizabeth and Margaret, to her credit, makes it clear that she wants to support Tony, but also you're going to the White House to talk to the president. I think that's a little bit more important than a book tour. You can push it back a day.
So, and she hangs up on the queen.
I mean, she does that anyway. It's her sister. Anyway, whatever. Then Elizabeth forces Margaret to agree by doing it by royal command or whatever. And the dinner is very high stakes. It's like financial ruin if she doesn't get at least some of this package. And right. The dinner goes the opposite way of how they wanted it to go, like properly. But it was perfect because it's LBJ and Americans are dumb and stupid. So,
right. So,
and what have we learned? Americans are dumb and stupid.
Right. But the Wilson thing. So Wilson is you know, he shows up and he's gotten a report on how Margaret's thing went. And it's telling it was the
exact same thing as the thing that happened in Ghana.
Sorry, that'd be great. He's gotten a report on it. But he's reporting to Elizabeth after the fact. It's not like it's over the phone while it's happening. So it's not nearly as fun or cute. It lost all of its charm. But the way he's doing it, I guess the charm they're trying to bring to it is like that old fashioned joke where like you're telling bad limericks or bad things like to the queen, and it's like, oh, is it a, you know, whatever.
It's kind of similar to what she would do, like her dad would do, like at the very beginning of the series when he was getting, like when George VI was getting ready for the...
Right, but you know that the queen's not like into it. So,
well, okay.
And that's different.
I have a list of the things that they did wrong, but go ahead.
Okay, so... the way he tells it, he's clearly reluctant to tell it to the queen. But there are the things that they do that they didn't want to do, and you can list them.
Yeah, basically mentioning JFK right off the bat. And then drinking, drinking contest and limerick contest, dancing and singing, because it's in her contract. And of course they sing, anything you can do, I can do better, from Annie, Get Your Gun. And so,
And LBJ apparently loves it. He eats it up the way it's
because portrayed. Us Americans are so dumb and they drink a lot and we drink moonshine.
Well, right, but the way Margaret is doing this, the way she phrases things is like, yeah, I've been played second best, you know, for I don't know how long, and I know how that feels, and we're just the same, and you know, just there, but you know, I can be vulgar just like you, and well, truly, that is true. Margaret can be vulgar just like you because she's been that way.
Yeah, it's fine. I think this is a highlight of the episode, to be honest. Again, there's not much. And then but also for the counter, Margaret singing again, free. So
yeah, so then we've got Elizabeth is talking to Philip about it afterwards, and she's like, I'm just predictable, and you know, she uses all these boring adjectives for herself, and I'd like to be dazzling once in a while, and Philip's like, no, you're dazzling in your own way, but you know, it's different. And she's like, yeah, whatever. But Philip is very supportive. The way they portray him, and I like this about the portrayal of Philip, is he's very supportive of her in at least these couple episodes. So Margaret gets home and it's a triumph, and Wilson like meets her and is like, oh, well done, blah, 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 because they got the money, and that's the thing we care about. Margaret then goes to Balmoral.
No, I think they go to Windsor.
Elizabeth is, and again, this makes me nuts because, and I understand what you're talking about. She's like, oh, I'll give you the Order of Merlin. Or, yeah, I mean, these giant, all the teeth smiles. And
that's just her smile, Mom.
I know. So mine is like that too. But if I were trying to act like the queen, I wouldn't do that. So well, again,
director probably should have told her that, but they didn't. Probably so whatever.
But you know, like she offers her these things. She's like, no, you can keep all that. I want to share your duties. And Elizabeth's like, you haven't shared my duties. You went to a dinner.
I mean, that's very true. I think that's like the most honest she's been in this entire episode. Just like, you really didn't, but I can see where she's coming from. She wants more to do, and that's fine. You can probably do that without phrasing it like, I want your job, but I just, because you're not going to get it. But Elizabeth says she'll think about it. Philip doesn't want her to. And he says, we all desire equality, but we are not born equal, which, interesting sentiment given context.
Well, but again, I think you know, there's that difference of equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, again, in this circumstance, there's not an equality of opportunity. She's because of primogeniture. But he also then talks about Tommy Lassell's theory about the Windsor family. And that there are the people in the family that are dull. And he points to George V, George VI.
I remember the way he phrased that because he got all this from drunk Tommy Lassels, which I love. And that when monster. He drank the human blood. And then he says, he's like, there are always the full, the dazzling Windsor, the dull and dazzling Windsors, sorry, the autocorrect, and dazzling Windsors, your father, and she's like, a saint, and he's like, but dull, sorry.
Right, grandfather. Right, but dull, and then he enumerates them, he goes through them, and he's like, for every Victoria, you get an Edward VII, for every George V, you get an Edward VIII, and, you know, which would be David. And you know, you have these people that are dazzling and brilliant and individualistic, but also dangerous. And that's the category that Margaret falls into. And so for every Elizabeth, every Lilibet, you have a Margaret.
Yes, and he's like, he says,
let Margaret have the glory now. That you don't have to rewrite the rule book just because she got lucky this one time.
Right. Just because she got lucky. I mean, honestly, if this was any other situation and she, it's kind of like that thing where she, when she was giving the speech at the, for the ambassadors and she got lucky because she changed it and nobody really found it offensive. So there were a couple people, but her eccentricism really can be used to dazzle in certain situations, but not everyone. And she doesn't really know that. And then she just gets drunk and hopes for the best, I guess. But I don't know. And then there's good facial acting from Helena Bonham Carter when she sees Elizabeth and Philip walking out. That was a great moment when she like sees them and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to get anything.
And but there's great facial acting from her, but not from Olivia Colman because it's so obvious. It's all over that.
Mom, you really, really hate Olivia Colman. I don't really understand why.
No, I don't hate Olivia Colman as an actress. I love her in other things. Like the, oh God, what was the detective story that we saw her in? I thought she was great. I forgot the name. I think she has been really great in other things. She was good in Fleabag. I really feel like this is not the role for her.
I think she's fine. I thought her acting in this part was good, but maybe I was wrong. Anyway,
then, I just disagree. We don't have to agree.
It's fine. Then Tommy tells, back in a flashback, Tommy tells Margaret that it's impossible to change the line of succession.
Child Margaret.
I said child Margaret.
No, you said Margaret.
I said young Margaret. Anyway, play it back. He's telling child Margaret that it's impossible to change the line of succession and just you're there to support. You're not going to be in the spotlight. You're going to be in the wings, which is a great thing to tell a child because Tommy's the best with children. He needs to go back to his Scottish dogs. But
what should he have said?
No, I think he said the right thing. It's just funny the way he phrased it. But I think that she needed to hear that. And then she gets upset and she runs past Elizabeth, who's waiting in the hallway. And Elizabeth gets a glance at Tommy Lassell's and she's like, oh God, it didn't go well and I'm stuck. So, oh well. And then we get a parallel of upset Margaret at her vanity, flashback Margaret crying and older Margaret taking off her lashes and taking off her makeup and all the layers of whatever and
being resigned, resigned to her role with the wings.
All of this horrible things happening to poor Margaret.
Margaret. So,
and then the episode ends.
Yes. So, what was your best part?
The dinner at the White House is fun to watch, but it still is like, you dumb Americans. And then Tony being supportive and Margaret being pretty supportive. And eye patch guy. he was just out of nowhere and he just had an eye patch and I was like, that's great.
All righty.
I was listening to our Paterfamilia episode about Phillip's flashback episode. And I remembered that one kid in the background of the telephone call just in his pajamas sweeping the floor. It's a lot like that. It's just eye patch guy in the background. It's really funny. What are you?
All right. All right. My best part is the child actors. I think the child actors are terrific. I really like, and I know I've been bitching about the writing, but Philip's speech about the Windsors, I think, is great. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked the limerick contest, although, it's very funny.
Wisconsin and Johnson.
I didn't need Wilson struggling to tell the Queen about it.
They I would really have been trying to reminisce about, you remember this episode that was better?
I didn't need that. So those were my best parts. What was your worst part?
I have several, and I mean,
I should go first because I only
go ahead.
One. And it's not that I don't have several in this episode. It's just that there was one that jumped out of me, and I think it's LBJ. I mean, I would half expected him to have a burping contest.
Or a farting contest or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, how much more juvenile? And he may have been a very petty man. I don't know. I never met him. I don't really care to, you know. I don't think that the lowest common denominator parts of this, you know, lowering him and lowering him some more and lowering him, you know, even more than that were necessary. But whatever. I just didn't like that. And it's not like I like the guy or liked his politics or anything else, but it's like that I think is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. So what were all your bad parts?
Okay. Well, let's get started. All right. Elizabeth being jealous and not giving Margaret more. I think she could have at least, like, they could have at least, like, had a thing where it's like, all right, well, we'll give you a couple low stakes things just to give you some more to do, but we're not going to share a role. That's not how this works. We're not going to be co-queens. That's not, no. Obviously, that makes sense. But at the same time, it's like, they're making it seem like they can't give Margaret anything and Margaret has plenty. Like,
can I respond to that a little bit? Because we get the sense that, you know, she does have royal duties, right? Mm-hmm. And she is an active royal, so there are things that she has responsible. She just wants more, and she's so freaking greedy. I find that, like, you know, you've known since you were a little kid what your role is supposed to be, and you don't get to decide. So I don't mind her asking. I mind the tone in which she's almost demanding.
Well, I also hate the tone in them refusing, being like, she doesn't deserve anything, and make it them the villains in the story. Whereas, like, but Philip at least has that nice moment with the whole, like, it can be dangerous to give her this much power and all that stuff. It makes sense. And it does, like, balance it out a little bit, but it, I don't know. But them being like, we can't give Margaret anything. It's like, you can give her some stuff, but, like, nothing high stakes. And then bad Americans. Which I've covered this entire episode. Margaret and Tony antagonizing each other. And then the roads not taken. This section is interesting. First, Margaret gets sick from all the press engagements. Consequences of the role? question mark? Like, you literally, it was right there. You could have just been like one line being like, I don't know how she does this, or I can understand how she felt in Australia, or I understand why this is exhausting. This is a lot. Like Tony even being like, are you sure you want to keep doing this? Like, it's a good thing we have this built in, but you don't always have that. Like in Australia, it was like 50 days and like so much. Like, I just, again, it was right there. It was easy pickings. I don't know why they didn't take it. And then they have to miss NYC and Tony's book. No repercussions. None.
No discussion.
In their relationship. I'm kind of glad because I didn't want them to blow up at each other or anything. But I think also another reason why they probably didn't touch on it too much is because it's not like initially she was just like, okay, well, I'm going to support my husband. I want that to be my priority right now. And then she got the command. And so it's not like they can do anything, but at the same time, there are no repercussions discussed about like, oh, that's his book launch. Well, I guess we have to move it back a day. Okay. Right. Well, there's nothing discussed about it. So yeah. I just think that there were a lot of opportunities here where it just like, they didn't take any of them. I don't understand why. It makes no sense to me. What did you get this episode?
I have B question mark.
Yeah, I also have B because I didn't hate it. Like, there were a lot of things I did not like, but I think it was better than the last episode.
Right, exactly. It was better than the last episode, but though I don't know why. I can't put anything on
it. A little bit more of a return to form because it has a lot of stuff that we've seen in other ones.
There was no horseback riding. I was a little disappointed.
Well, I think she would throw her back out, but I don't know. I'm just disappointed.
I know. I think
remember season one and two, we had like several A's and A minuses and all that stuff. We had even had an A plus for for that one episode. I think that I just miss like being able to be excited about how good this is. But the writing is not doing it any favors because it's painting certain people in a weird light and the characterization of a lot of them is just off.
Well, right. And so I think, you know, that's part of it too, is like Margaret was always a little bit of a, you know, a wild thing, whatever, in the first two seasons, but there was a sophistication to it. And now we just have that broad comedy, and Helena Bonham Carter is good at broad comedy. And maybe that's what they're like leaning into with this, but it's,
and the singing, oh my god,
yeah, it's just, it's disappointing because you don't have that, you don't have that sense of, oh, this is why people like you, none of the Cecil Beaton, oh, you know, you're inspiring people.
Inspired by this. I don't want a new neckerchief.
Right. I'm not inspired either. And so I think that's part of it. You know, and again, we don't have good clothes or anything else to distract us. And so it's like, oh. And some of that's like the time period, like some of those 60s, late 60s, early 70s dresses are just ugly. So it's kind of like, oh, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of sad. Anyway, so I'm hoping, and I really don't want our listeners to take away from this, like, oh, we hate The Crown. Oh, you shouldn't watch The Crown or anything like that. Or you shouldn't listen to these episodes. Again,
like a D or anything. It's not like it's unwatchable garbage. It is good. It's just after coming off of the last two seasons where our expectations were really high and we just were kind of let down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has to, and it's an across the board letdown too. It's not just like my issues with cast, it is also the writing.
It's absolutely the writing. I think the writing is a huge part of it. I don't think
the direction helps. Too. I think
the direction is probably part of that because you have some great actors, and if they're if they're doing something weird, it's probably, you could probably redirect them.
Right.
And like tell them, hey, maybe try it like this, and they would probably be able to like just pull it out of the bag. I don't know why they aren't, I don't know. I don't know what was happening. I don't know if that's actually, I don't know. I really don't. I'm just kind of.
I don't either. It's disappointing. So hopefully we are going to get some episodes where we're like, oh my God, this is way better than I remember. I'm hoping for that.
I'm hopeful. You forget. I've watched the next two.
Oh,
Well, one of them's good. One of them's good. Okay. I'm ahead of you. So
you are. You're ahead of me. And the other maybe it will get better.
Well, the next one is called Aberfan.
I know Aberfan.
You know Aberfan. That's a good episode.
It is a good episode.
And the one after that, it's a Philip episode.
Okay.
I honestly remembered parts of it. I didn't remember all of it. So we'll get to that.
We're gonna see how it goes. I am looking forward to maybe we're gonna be heading out of January, and so it won't be dry January anymore, and maybe that'll make it more fun.
No, maybe.
Yeah, well,
it's always gonna be dry for me. I mean, that's not,
I know, but I mean for me.
Yeah, you'll have more fun. I'll just be over here like being like my Helena Bonham Carter counter is just gonna increase exponentially. And
so, all the singing.
It's so bizarre. Like, why?
I don't know.
Again, I think it was in her contract. It's like, if I'm going to be in here, I know that Margaret used to sing spontaneously like High School Musical. I want to do that too. Like, okay.
Fabulous.
It's not so fabulous. So, we will be back for season three, episode 3 and episode 4.
And we hope you join us. And
cheers.